Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. Let me jump right in. Looking forward to Sunday throughout the day with you as well. And so we'll be concise here. Jeremiah chapter number 18. I want us to take a field trip tonight to the potter's house. I hope you've got your running shoes on. We're going to run quickly through the first part of the chapter here. And we're going to go to the potter's house. And when I speak of the potter's house tonight, I'm not referring to a church. I'm not referring to a denomination. I'm not referring to a ministry or an organization. I have to say that in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm referring solely to the potter's house of Jeremiah chapter 18. Can somebody say amen? And that's where I am. That is called a disclaimer, a clarification, a prefatory remark, a preliminary statement, or it's just a before the rumors start, or before I get quoted out of context, or never invited back. That's the reason I did that. But anyway, the potter's house. Oh, what a phenomenal passage it is here tonight. And we're going to read that passage tonight. Verse 1 of chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to see the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Father, thank you for this conference. Thank you for hope. Lord, so many people live with the idea of being beyond hope. But Lord, let us this week talk about how they can live with hope beyond. Hope beyond their current circumstances, hope beyond their current situations, and their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you help us this week? Would you move in hearts? Would you have people step into the ministry of helping people with stubborn habits and addictions? Would you do a great work? For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Israel's glory has been long gone. It ended some time ago. Sin infiltrated the land. Idolatry and greed was everywhere. The Syrian Empire is greatly declining. The Babylonian Empire is greatly thriving. And both of them had their way with this little area called Judah in the Bible. And both of them. And one word describes what Jeremiah is experiencing when he takes this field trip, when he's told of the Lord to take this field trip. And it's the word broken. Their finances were broken. Their laws were broken. Their government was broken. Their worship was broken. Their lives were broken. And Jeremiah feels broken from all the brokenness and wants to quit. Broken meaning pain and meaning hurt. A part of the DNA that came to mankind because of Adam and Eve. A shattered state. When Jeremiah looked out at Judah, he wasn't looking at a nation that had merely stumbled. He was looking at a nation that was fractured to the core. Broken in identity, broken in our worship, broken in purpose, broken in will. And this wasn't a slow grinding collapse. This happens when people drift far from God, inch by inch by inch, little by little by little. Until one day they wake up and can't recognize themselves anymore. And we hear that often. I don't even know how I got here, Brother John. I couldn't even explain all the story to you. Their glory days were a memory. David and Solomon felt like ancient legends. Sin didn't just sneak in, it set up shop. Their enemies didn't just attack them, they defined them. Just like clay that had collapsed on the wheel. Broken, not destroyed, not discarded, collapsed. No longer meant what it was supposed to be. And this is where the potter's house becomes a field trip for Jeremiah. And this is where the potter's house becomes a field trip for us tonight. Because we open up this Bible, and the Bible's a mirror. It shows us my flaws and your flaws. Amen. But it also shows me my Savior above all. Amen. The Bible is a mirror revealing my sin, then pointing me to Christ who cleanses within. The Bible doesn't flatter and it doesn't lie. It shows what I am and lifts my eyes on high. The mirror of God's word reveals what's true, not just what I've done, but what Christ can do. Amen. The Bible is a mirror that exposes the stain, then points to the Savior who washes away the pain. A mirror shows the face. God's word shows the heart. It reveals where we are and where grace can start. That's what's so exciting about a ministry like Bridge to Recovery is see the starting blocks of grace in somebody's life. Oh, it's up and down for a while and in and out for a while, but only grace can describe grace. Amen. And only Jesus can describe grace. Addictions are terrible. They whether it's chemical or emotional or digital or relational or behavioral, it does the same thing to you and me and others that it did to the land of Judah in those days. It misshapes you. It distorts your identity. It reshapes your priorities. It redefines your normal. It breaks you down slowly until the feeling of collapse is present. It breaks people and marriages and churches and homes and ministries and hearts. Judah was broken, but thank God, not beyond remaking. Amen. The promise of God to the ability for God to put it back together, the ability of God's power to put things back together, and God's sovereignty to make it again is what the whole trip to the potter's house is all about. So we're going to have three just quick lessons tonight, right out of the text about the potter's house. Look at Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Number one, when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, he saw that the potter was working. Aren't you glad there's still a God in 2026 that's working? Amen? I don't know about you, but I know my wife and I have experienced some burdens and struggles and trials in the last year or so, and before that, 5 years ago. It just seems like those things come here and there in our lives, but it's a joy to turn to this passage and realize there is a potter that's still working. Amen. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And I hope he's still working on you too. Amen. Oh, the potter's house. He saw that the potter was working. Oh, I believe you know and I know that if people are going to see broken things mended, we know who we have to get them to. Amen. We have to get them to the Lord. And when I noticed this passage, verse 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel." What the potter was not doing is he was not distracted or bored or half invested. Amen? He was working at the wheel. He was not complaining about the clay. He was not throwing the clay away. He was not discarding the clay. He was not blaming the clay. He was not walking away to start something easier, posting a picture of a mess instead of fixing the mess. I'm telling you, thank God the potter was working. That's what Jeremiah saw. This is a sermon without words. There was no words. He walked down to the potter's house. He peeked into what was going on. I remember when I was a kid, my mom liked to go shopping at Potteries. And we went to Williamsburg. It's about 2 hours from my house. It's the colonial village of Williamsburg. And mom didn't care 2 cents about the colonial Williamsburg walking around, but she loved the pottery house. And they had everything except what a kid would want in the pottery house, you know, and a lot more than just pottery. And I remember walking around, right in the middle of this pottery house was a potter's wheel. And I was mesmerized watching year after year, trip after trip, that clay being formed by the potter's hands on that wheel. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't panicking. He was awake and he was working at the wheel. God doesn't throw away what collapses. He reshapes it. Amen. God's wheel keeps turning even when life feels stuck. God's hands are stronger than your bad habits. Amen. God is patient with the process. And I think this is important to see Jeremiah in the situation that he was as a prophet for Israel. And there are moms and dads in this room that can relate. There are pastors in this room that can relate. There are different recovery workers in this room that can relate. Yes, we're there to help and there to encourage and there to take the phone call and make the phone call. When we lay our pillow on the head of bed at night, what a soothing help it is in ministry to reflect back to Jeremiah 18, Pastor, the potter's still working. I may sleep, but the potter's still working. I may be in a fog, but the potter's still working. Amen? Amen. The second thing I noticed about this passage is not only he saw the potter working, but the second thing he saw was the clay was marred. He saw the clay marred. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. He saw them. It was marred. It was spoiled. It was decay. It was bad. Romans 6:19 says, Paul said this, that when people give themselves to sin, it leads from iniquity to iniquity. It just opens the door and things get worse. And worse and worse. Hosea 8 says, for they have sown to the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. You know, there's a couple things. Put the next slide up. There's a couple things I want to walk you through about this. He saw the clay marred. It was marred with impurities. That's what's within inside of us. Before a potter can shape clay, he must remove rocks and sticks and debris from the outside. But there are still things on the inside that he can't see, like pride in the life of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, or bitterness in Naomi's struggle in Ruth chapter 1, or jealousy in Cain toward Abel in Genesis chapter 4, or unforgiveness, the forgiving servant of Matthew chapter 18, or hidden sin like Achan in Joshua chapter number 7. I'm simply saying there are impurities that he removes, and thank God he's still working. Not just the impurities, but the inconsistencies. Clay must have a consistent texture. If some parts are dry where other parts are wet, the clay becomes very unstable. Spiritual inconsistencies develop when our walk with God becomes uneven. Like Peter's bold confession one moment and denial the next. Or serving God in church but compromising at work. Or praying only during crisis, or trying God in some areas but not other areas. We're inconsistent. And inconsistencies hurt our homes and hurt our child rearing and hurt the work of God. We ought to be consistent. Amen. Thank God the potter's still got us on the wheel and he's working. What's he doing? He's taking out impurities. What's he doing? He's taking out inconsistency. What's he doing? He's taking out injuries. Oh, injuries can hurt bad. No question about it. The clay is frail. The clay is weak. Especially when it hasn't been through the fire yet. The potter's spinning the wheel round and round and faster and faster. And no stability. If it has an injury, there's no stability. The potter's working. When impurities remain and inconsistencies develop, cracks begin to form. Poor choices, disappointments, life's hardships, heart issues, emotional wounds from rejection, heart issues not fully dealt with, guilt from past mistakes, spiritual scars from failure, hurt from church conflict. Cracked clay is not useless clay, because the potter specializes in restoration. Amen? He made it again. And it came to pass. Amen? He made it again. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. By the way, if you're going to go through a difficult time, if you're going to go through some suffering, if you're going to go through some heartache, it's about time you realize you better be in the hand of the potter. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
You better be close to the potter. I thought, man, I probably experienced all the hurt I could experience in yonder years. I've got stories I could tell you. But I got a sneaky suspicion they're not. It's the future's not exempt from those same type things, Brother Gillett. But one day I'm going to see him face to face. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Restoration. To be more like him. To stay on the wheel. That's all about surrender. That's Sunday night's message. But I tell you, I saw that he was still working. And there was a marred vessel here. Number 3, Jeremiah saw the vessel restored. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Ooh, that's a good place to be. So he made it again. By the way, that's a good place to remind others that are saved that they ought to be. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good theme for Bridge to Recovery night and 2 or 3 nights and every week. Just stay in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Jeremiah saw a vessel restored. His patience with collapse, his patience with resistance, his patience with repetition, his patience with imperfections. I don't know how he does it, but I'm so thankful that we have the God we have. Amen? I'm so thankful for his loving kindness. I'm so thankful. You know, God made 2 major decisions because of the wicked heart of man. The first decision he made was to destroy the whole earth in a flood because of the wickedness of man's heart. You know what the second decision was in Genesis? The second decision he made because of the wickedness of man's heart was to never do that again. Think about that. Think about the love that we have from God.
Yeah.
He's just. He's always right.
Amen.
And he always loves.
Amen.
I'm just so thankful for the potter's vision and the potter's commitment. And the warmth of it all, the potter is more committed to forming us than many times we are for him to form us. You understand that? He's more committed to forming you than you are wanting to be formed. He loves you that much. His plan is that much better than yours. Amen.
Amen.
He demonstrated his patience. He demonstrated his will for our life. And so tonight, the invitation is simple. If you're not saved, come into the hands of the potter. Receive him as your Savior. If you are saved, yield to his hands. If you recently resisted or there's an area that you're still resisting, yield to the potter's hands. It's a safe place. It's a secure place. It's the only place you'll find sanity for your life, in the hands of God. Amen? Amen. And then lastly, tonight has all been about the two testimonies, three testimonies, and the sermon tonight concludes with, how about using your hands to help somebody else? You know, the Good Samaritan stopped by to help that man that had been overtaken with the stuff around him. I always picture a hand reaching down to help that boy. And I don't think it was a normal hand. I think that hand probably had some wrapping on it itself. It probably had something on his hand like people wear today for problems with opening and closing their hand. I'm simply trying to tell you, we've all been through some things. And tonight I'm speaking to those who've been through some difficult days and difficult addictions and difficult things. It's time for you to take that wounded arm or that wounded life or that wounded hand. But you've been on the potter's wheel. Now you're ready to take yours and reach down and help somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
That's the invitation. Because there is recovery that's possible. And there is hope that's found on the potter's wheel.